Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, August 19th of 2020, and I'm your host, as usual, the Miracle Man. And I'm so glad that you've made the determination to tune in tonight to this program. And wherever you are, whether you're from nearby, you know, as I like to say now, whether you're from across the street, across the state, across the nation, or you're across the ocean in another country, on another continent, we're so glad that you've tuned in. I remember just on a particular night earlier in the summer, we had looked at it, and we had every continent represented on this globe. We had Europe, North America, South America, Africa, Asia, and Australia, Australasia, Oceania, whatever you want to call that continent, because as a country, because around there, you know, there's Australia, but there's also New Zealand. But I always call that county, you know, Oceania, Australia, something like that. But we had all six of the inhabited continents. Antarctica, of course, while that's a continent, it's not populated. There's no permanent population. Because I remember one time I heard my doctor, my pastor say, we preached on every continent on this globe. I was like 10 at the time, and I thought, what, people live on Antarctica? And then I almost all believed that for like 2 years, only to find out, nope, nobody does, not permanently. And you say, Miracle Man, would you want to live on Antarctica? You think here. Cold, South Pole, coldest place. No! Nope. Coldest place on Earth? Not for me. Here in Michigan, in winter, I think it's bad. Let alone Antarctica. I mean, when you have 3 cloudy days in a row, especially now, in the middle of what's going on now, it's like, Lord have mercy. If you have that, at least now it's summer, but in the winter, I much prefer to have blue skies, warmer weather. And you shouldn't be surprised by this, but this is how it is. The older I get, the more I dislike the cold. As far as, like, the winter. Now, like, at my normally fall football games, which will now be in the spring, I still do good at those. I just always have to remember to dress warm enough for the cold games that are usually later on. But this time, this year, with everything being flip-flopped, because of the virus, you'll have it. Chances are it'll be the coldest when we start. And the good thing about that'll be is that, like, from there to super cold the first game, the thing will be hopefully it'll only go up from here, right? I know, right? I'd be like, I hope it only goes up from here. you know. But then, if let's say your first home game was like, we'll say, I'm not going to use this calendar year as a model. I'm going to use a different one. We'll say your first home game is like Friday, September 9th. And we'll say for whatever reason it was only like 50 degrees at game time, which 50 wouldn't be as bad as like 30 in October. But then it would be like, well, how bad is it going to get when October comes? But what about November when we make the playoffs? Then it's like, uh-oh. But I still don't care because I love being at the games. Other than that, I am not really the cold weather guy unless it's in the building and it involves AC. Then I really like it. That's just me. But praise God. So glad to have you with us. And hope everyone's been having a good summer, trying to at least. You know, Labor Day is coming up in a couple of weeks, and then summer will be about over. Now, I want to give a shout-out tonight to my mother, who's having a very, very, very big special birthday on Saturday. And no, I'm not going to say her age and make her look bad in case she's listening. I'm not going to humiliate her. You say you're going to talk about honoring her. Yes, I honoring your mother. Yes, I am. With that in mind, I'm not going to humiliate my mom tonight by mentioning the age. You can tell I was doing that to be funny, of course, right? But, you know, I've always heard something. A college professor of mine had said this when I was in his class. He used to say, it's not the age, it's the mileage. Like the mileage on you. I think that's kind of funny, don't you? Yeah, it's not the age, it's the mileage. The wisdom. Whatever. But my mother, she is just such a great woman, such a great lady. She's such a valuable asset to the body of Christ. And she gave her life to Christ on Halloween night of 1988, around the time that she had found out that she was pregnant. I'm so glad that she gave her life to Jesus and decided to be a Christian, because what if she hadn't? If she hadn't, I don't think I'd be here right now. And I'm so grateful that my mom made that decision to give her life to Jesus. Now, she had been a Wesleyan in the 70s as she was growing up, but then when she got older, she departed and kind of went off to do her own thing. But then she decided to get to know Jesus as her personal Lord and Savior and have that personal relationship with God. And I'm so glad she did that. Over the years, she's really grown in her relationship with God. Obviously, for the first months of that, like 9 months of it, I wasn't alive. The first few years after that, couldn't really keep track because I was so little. And then the next few years after that, you know, of course, the older you get, the more observant you can be. But I've really watched her grow in a relationship with God, and I've watched her just continue to elevate and elevate and elevate in the way she serves, even the way she serves in the church. Her and my dad both as elders of the church. And normally, one of the services, you'll find, after the service is done, you'll find my mom and dad up there at the altar laying their hands on sick people and praying over them, or just those who have a need from God. And they're just, and that's people doing what the Bible said. If you're sick, you call on the elders of the church. I'll pray over you. I'll pray the prayer of agreement. But one of the, what I love about my mom so much is, for one, she's spiritual. Two, another thing I love about her is her sense of humor. Of course, everybody's sense of humor is different. Hers is different from a lot of people I know. But it's cool. Sometimes you just never know when it's going to show up. She's been an inspiration to so many people. She really has. Now, we're having her birthday party, and on Saturday, down in the Detroit area, and I might give a speech, but it'll be, we're on the show tonight, and I'm kind of bragging a little bit. I'm so glad that my mom is my mom. And mom, if you're listening, I hope that on Saturday you have the best birthday you ever have. I honestly and truly, and I hope that you truly have the best birthday that you've had, that you just greatly enjoy it. May it be one of blessing, one of laughter. Another thing I love about my mom is that laugh of hers. Do you ever see it? Sometimes when she laughs, doesn't she kind of light up like a Christmas tree almost? She lights up like a Christmas tree. And it's like she lights up like the Christmas tree, doesn't she? But she lights up like one of the grand Christmas trees, like at one of the good malls. If I was to say, or like these trees that you'd find like at Bronner's and Frankenmuth, or some of the other places that I've seen really cool Christmas trees, that's what she likes. Like she lights up like the Christmas tree, and it's just the sense of humor she has. That laugh she has, it's the joy she brings. And, of course, everybody has their own traits. And with me, as her son, Mom, I want to thank you for being real. And just laying things out there. And you've really made a difference in my life over the years. I don't just say that as you being my mother. I say that about you, Mom, if you're listening. I say that about you as a person. And you've really been an inspiration to so many people. And I just want to thank you. for who you are, for what you mean. And that's awesome. Now, listeners, you can get our book. My mom wrote a book about me. It's called Rivers of Miracles. You can go online to riversofmiracles.com to find out more information. R-I-V-E-R-S, not R-Y. R-I. And I don't, and of course, my true name is Rivers, even though on the show I always go by Miracle Man. And it's called Rivers of Miracles. And it talks about the great things that God's done in my life, the challenges I've faced, the ones I've overcome through God, of course. And it gives all the glory to God. And you can find out more information online and at riversofmiracles.com and buy that book, please. And you'll learn in it not just about me, but hopefully you'll learn some things in there about God and the way God works. I don't just want you to read that book to learn things about me. I want you to learn that, to read that book and learn things about God. And to get hope out of it. And, you know, and so, like I said, we're having the special birthday party at my mom's, and it's going to be great. We're going to have food, and we're going to have 60s music. She was born in the 60s. No, I'm not saying how old she's turning. I just said the decade, that's it. Because like I said, I'm not going to embarrass her tonight. If I get disconnected for any reason, I'll know what happened. No. I just say it's technology. But, you know. Well, like I said, it's going to be a great celebration of God, of our life, and I'm just pleased that my mom is my mom. Some people don't always take. Some people, it's like they love their mom, but they don't exactly take, you know. But to me, she's the one who made me who I am. She brought me in the world. Without her giving her life to Jesus, I wouldn't be here. Because I would have been killed. Because my mom had choices to make. And she chose life for me. And what I'm talking to you about isn't just talking about what she did for me. I'm talking about like who she is as a person. And I just thank you, Mom, again, for who you are, for what you mean to so many people. And I just know the impact that you're going to continue to have on people. I just know for sure. It's going to be awesome. Amen. All right, so let me just check the time. a few things. I wanted to mention to you the Ministry of Health conference next week, taking place at Living Word Church, Tuesday night through Friday night. Of course, nightly services at 7 p.m., Wednesday through Friday mornings at 10:30 a.m., dealing with the Ministry of Helps. Ministry of Helps includes door greeters, bathroom cleaners, I don't just call them door greeters. I mean, hosts and hostesses, bathroom cleaners, parking lot attendants, audio techs, the band, the choir, children's workers, and teachers, children's teachers, youth leaders, all these different areas of the ministry, publications, all these different areas. And they talk about the principles in the Ministry of Helps. And the Ministry of Helps is very important. It's a very important topic. And so, if you want to learn about the Ministry of Helps, come or stream online at marktbarclay.com. I'm telling you about this for two reasons. One of them is so that you can grab a hold of these principles and either come and attend or and learn about the Ministry of Helps and how I can be involved in it. Two is to let you know that on Tuesday and Wednesday nights, my shows will be earlier. That way, I can be a part of the conference. Amen. Another thing. This has been brought to you by Circus Time Snacks. I did go to Circus Time Snacks over the weekend. They do have very good fries. I had a corn dog there, which was very good. It had some kind of breading on it that was a bit different. But other than that, it was very good. They had the elephant ears are smaller and cheaper, but they're still very good. They are still very good. The elephant ears, they are very good. And you can give Circus Time Snacks a try, where it's fair food year-round, meeting your need at a low cost. Located in Fashion Square Mall Food Court, 4871 Fashion Square Boulevard in Saginaw at the corner of Bay and Tittabawassee. In the food court, it'll be the first restaurant on the left when you come in the door. So you'll go by a store, and then the place next door, it'll be Circus Time Snacks. You can get yourself some good old carnival food. And of course, the people there were very nice, very gracious. When I was in there, it was the busiest I'd seen the food court in a while. The food court had been diminishing over time as they had lost Taco Bell and Subway within the span of about a year. Note those are two fairly large chains. No, two very large chains, two of the biggest in America. At one point, they actually had a McDonald's, which is where Circus Time Snacks is now, a Subway, and a Taco Bell as three of the chains, the tenants in the food court, just like Midland did. McDonald's left, and then years later, Taco Bell, and then about a year after that, Subway. And that's how that food court had. The food court there had more of a demise than the mall itself. The mall in itself is still doing pretty good. In fact, they only lost two stores from the virus. Justice, which had planned to close a couple of stores, also a cell phone store. But the cell phone store had basically planned to leave anyhow. Remember Bob had said that they had already planned to leave anyway, hadn't they? Remember Bob had said that, Megan, that cell phone store that had left had basically planned to leave beforehand anyway. So that really there was only one virus departure. Now Midland had like four or five, and Great Lakes, Subway. Did I tell you about Subway, Megan? That Subway actually did open back up, or did I not tell you that? Subway opened back up. And that Disney place, they didn't close. The children's place, in your mind, you had listed that as suspected closing, right? Originally, and then they didn't like. So in your mind it wasn't confirmed but suspected, you know. Of course, all three of those are now back on, which is actually good to see. And with the exception of one particular day of one particular Monday that was slower than a Saturday 10 days ago, every time I've been in there, it's been a little bit busier, even though the lines haven't been as long as they once were outside of the store. Part of that's because a bunch of them increased the capacity, and now there's more of the places are back on in there. So it's heading back more towards more normal business, which is very good to see. Like I said, Genesee I've not been to yet since March, but Great Lakes I did, and it was Great Lakes and Saginaw, and both of them were in a lot better shape than Midland. Even Subway announced that they're going to leave, except for this. The plan is to open in September, close at the start of January. That is not the virus. That is an expiring lease. So I don't know what the virus had to do with it. I'll have to find out when it opens back up. Because in my mind, when it comes to these closures, in my mind, if it's a virus, I call it virus. If it's not, then I just say other, you know? Other or Amazon or you know, lease expiring. Of course, in Saginaw, we got a new food court tenant, which is very good to see. And I was also told that someone was looking at another one of the two remaining vacant spots in there, which could be a good sign. I really do think it could be a good sign. And then one more thing real quick. One more thing. And then we're going to sing and we're going to get in the word of the Lord. And I'm going to call this How to Avoid Shipwreck. How to Avoid Shipwreck in life. I want to remind you of your homework assignments. Now four. Number one, Psalm 23. Every day, out loud, so that your family can hear it. Number two, read Psalm 91 daily. Very important. Number three, every day at 12 noon, look up to heaven, curse that virus. Take authority over that thing. I have my alarm. A couple people, most of the time, like, they know what it is, but once someone was kind of looking like, what was that? What is that? Megan, wasn't it? I think someone was looking in Walmart, kind of like, what is that thing? Wasn't someone kind of looking like, what is that thing? Someone was, weren't they, kind of, sort of? No, not really. I guess it wasn't that loud, but you can see why I thought maybe they would have, you know what I mean? But no, they weren't, but they could have been, but I'm like, oh. But at noon, take authority over that, over the virus, curse it, and we're also dealing with Koran, which is the demon behind the virus, and then also stupid, which is the spirit behind a lot of these illegal orders. And this isn't just Michigan. This is America and the world. That's right. And then number four, this is when I've asked every day here to election, you pray over this election. You pray over this country. You pray that the right people get voted into office. And because we got a big election coming up in November, a very important election. And we have severe choices to make. And don't mess it up. Praise God. We're going to sing a couple of songs, and then we're going to get into the word of the Lord tonight. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and their children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and their children, and their children, and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you, all around you, and within you, and around you. He is with you, he is with you, in the morning, in the evening, and rejoicing. He is with you, he is for you, he is for you, he is for you. He is for you, 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 yes. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and their children, and their children, their children. May his presence go before you and behind you, all around you and within you, all around you. He is with you, he is with you in the morning, in the evening, and behind you and within you. He is with you, all around you. He is for you, 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 yeah. He is for you. He is for you. Amen. 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 Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, 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 there is something about that name, Master, Savior, Jesus, there is something about that name. Kings and kingdoms, they shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. Jesus, 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 there's something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, there is something about that name. King, kingdoms, they shall all pass away, and there's something about that name. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Then sings my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior all the day long. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're so glad to have you in our lives, Jesus. We're so grateful for who you are. We're so grateful for what you've done in our lives, for what you're going to do, for what you've already done, what you're going to do, what you're doing right now. And I just give you praise and honor and glory. And thank you that you, I thank you right now tonight that you meet every need that is present in these listeners. And that you just anoint these listeners. I just thank you that these listeners are focused. They're ready to receive from the life-changing Word of God. They're ready to receive something that they can put to use. And I just thank you that you're working in all in their lives, Jesus. And I just give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. Thank you that you'll use me tonight as the speaker. And I give you praise and honor and admiration. And I make my confession over this program tonight. I say that in your name, Jesus, that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership come into this program, and most of all, Lord, I thank you that for that huge harvest of souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program, in Jesus' name, amen, and amen, and amen. Sorry. Amen. Open up your Bible, if you would, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 27. Amen. Acts 27. And again, I'm calling this How to Avoid Shipwrecked. How to Avoid Going Shipwrecked. And obviously, what we're going to read about, it's about what happens on an actual ship. But this is talking about life, not Christianity. Acts 27. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. And when it was decided that we would sail for Italy, Paul and some other prisoners were handed over to a centurion named Julius, who belonged to the imperial regiment. We boarded a ship from Adramedium about to sail for ports along the coast of the province of Asia, and we put out to sea. Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, was with us. The next day, we landed at Sidon, and Julius, in kindness to Paul, allowed him to go to his friends so that they might provide for his needs. From there, we put out to sea again, and we passed by the line of Cyprus because the winds were against us. When we had sailed again, when we had sailed across the open sea off the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we landed at Myra in Lycia. There, the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy and put us on board that ship. We made slow headway for many days, and we had difficulty arriving off Cnidus. When the wind did not allow us to hold our course, we sailed to the line of Crete, opposite Salmone. We moved along the coast with difficulty, and we came to a place called Fair Havens, near the town of Assia. Much time had been lost, and sailing had already become dangerous because by now it was after the feast. So Paul warned them, "Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo, and to our own lives also." But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, he followed the advice of the pilot and of the owner of the ship, since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in. The majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. Oh, by the way, listeners, by the way, this is not talking about Phoenix, Arizona. You can't sail to Phoenix, Arizona. Nope. We should sail to Phoenix and winter there. This was a harbor in Crete, facing both southwest and northwest. Verse 13. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they had obtained what they wanted. So they weighed another they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster, or you could call it the Nor'easter. The Northeaster, it swept down from the island. And the ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed by the line of a small island called Cauda, we were hardly above to make the lifeboat secure. We were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. And when the men had hatched us aboard, they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together, fearing that they would run aground on the sandbars of Cyrene. They lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. And we took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. And when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved after the men had gone a long time without food. Paul stood up before them and he said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night an angel of the Lord, an angel of the God whom I am and whom I serve, stood beside me, and he said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.' On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea, when about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were approaching land. They took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took soundings again. They found it was 90 feet deep. Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved." So the soldiers cut the ropes and held the lifeboat and let it fall away. Just about dawn, Paul urged them all to eat, saying, "For the last 14 days, you have been in constant suspense, and you've continued without food, and you haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you all to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head." After he said this, he took some bread. He gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat. So they were all encouraged and they ate some food themselves. Altogether, there were 276 of us on board. When they had eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea. When daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach, where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. Cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea, and at the same time, they united the ropes that held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and they made for the beach. But the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow stuck fast and would not move. And the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. And the soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plans. He ordered those who could to swim, those who could swim, to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to get there on planks or on pieces of the ship. And this way, everyone reached land safely. I'm going to read you the first like 10 verses of 28. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and they welcomed us all because of the rain that was falling and the cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out of the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer. For though he escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire, and he suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or to suddenly fall dead. After waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. And there was an estate nearby that belonged to Paulus, the chief official of the island, and he welcomed us into his home, and for 3 days entertained us hospitably. And his mother was sick in bed, suffering from a fever, and the sentry, and Paul went to see him. I mean, his father. Paul went to see his father, and he prayed, placed his hands on him, and he healed him. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. And they honored us in many ways. And when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. Let's talk about what happened here. So originally the plan was to go to Rome, but there was difficulty with the ship. And then Paul had said some things, but the ship people decided to go with the advice of the owner, the pilot, and the owner of the ship, rather than to go with the advice of Paul. And Paul, he was being led by God. And, of course, when that soft wind, southern wind began to blow, it was like, green pasture, comfortable. Now we're making headway. Now we're going to get to where we want to go. But then hurricane force wind, they kept getting faster and faster and faster, and they had to throw stuff overboard in order to even have a chance of saving that ship. And suddenly, but the wind was so high, and everything that was going on, shipwreck. So, and if you, in your life, if you find that there's challenges, and you're deciding, I think it needs to be this way, and you decide to do it your own way, the way of your conscience that may not be holy, or try to ask another expert other than someone who is a Christian what to do, then you could easily end up going shipwreck. That's why you don't want to just follow that soft southerly wind. That soft southern wind. Oh, there's this great opportunity. Oh, there's this thing. Oh, there's this. Well, what if that's not what God wants you to have? What if it's not? And even when, you know, like when you're believing for stuff, you don't want to go off course into things that God does not want you to get into, because God has a plan. And I think of that verse in Jeremiah where it says, I have plans for you to give you hope and a future, not to harm you. But people on that ship decided not to listen to Paul. Instead of listening to Paul, they decided, we're going to do what the experts said. The experts, in this case being the pilot and the owner of the ship.
who were supposed experts. Now, when you follow the advice of certain people that are supposed to be experts, and the result becomes very, very, very bad, it becomes what should be fatal, and then no one dies, that's a sign that the expert, that the so-called experts weren't really experts at all, right? So, ultimately, you go in life, through life, and you're presented with things. You're presented with the storm. And as you go through life, there will be storms. I'm not just talking about the storm outside. The storm is outside. Yes, obviously, if you live in Michigan, you'll have different types of severe storms. You'll have, sometimes you may have these rainstorms that go on for a long time. You may have a big thunderstorm, a bunch of wind and stuff. You might have a big, huge snowstorm. In your life, there will be trials. There will be tribulations. I did not say the great tribulation. We should not be here for that. But as you go through life, there will be troubles. Things will happen that you didn't plan for. Because, of course, the earth is not perfect. And, of course, things happen. But you have to ultimately, what you have to do is trust in the Lord so that you don't. One of the best ways to avoid going shipwrecked is trusting in the Lord. Well, the experts say, listen, the people on the ship chose to listen to experts instead of listening to Paul. And it didn't help them. And then eventually, God helped lead them to land. But the ship basically tore apart on the way there. And those who could had to swim to dry ground. Those who couldn't, they had to walk on planks or other pieces of that ship. A little bit before that, some people were kind of trying to see if they could swim from land from where they were. But then Paul said, unless they stay with the ship, they cannot be saved. And so, yeah, I think of a couple of big reasons why you could go shipwrecked. One could be you decided to follow that south wind. But of course, first, the experts had said, well, based on how things are looking, I think we should continue. Now, keep in mind that on the ship, of course, there is no radar at the time. No radar. So, because there was no radar, it was hard to tell, except for looking at clouds. Storm could be coming. And you wouldn't know what cat level hurricane it could be, what category. You know, cat 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But turned out that they were, and they thought, they were looking at it and they're like, looks fine. Because they had already been dealing with problems with the wind going against you. And So they, so like I said, they, so they're like, okay, we'll continue on. When Paul was like, when Paul had had a check in his spirit, but then these people were like, you know, we're going to do what the expert said. And no, we're going to do what the experts, the pilot and the owner, which was keep going, everything looks fine. They feel the south wind and they're like, it's just fine. It's the south wind, 80 degrees outside. Let's grill some hot diggities and brats and some burgers and have a party. Of course, on that ship, that's what I would have been thinking. What have you been thinking? The same thing, Megan? I would have been thinking, it's just fun. We got that nice south wind. Let's just grill some stuff and have a party. You know? And the football game's on. We'll watch it on the big screen. And of course, you know, but turn before too long, though, the party is over. The party is over because suddenly wind of hurricane force came. I didn't say tropical depression force, which is not such a thing. I didn't say a tropical wave. I didn't say a tropical depression. And I didn't say a tropical storm. I said hurricane force winds. At that point, it doesn't say, obviously, what category. But trying to think of a name for the hurricane. I don't know. Hurricane Judas. I don't know. Hurricane Peter. I don't know. I don't know. Of course, back then they didn't have names for those things, but this hurricane, this very strong storm, lasted for many days, and they kept sailing, and that, and then they have to throw all that stuff overboard, and things aren't going well at all. And then Paul said, after many days, he said, "I need you, all of you, to eat food. You've been working so hard. You've been toiling, but you haven't eaten any food." And though you got us into this situation, you need and be encouraged. Be encouraged. Have some food. And by now, it's not the brats and the mystery tubes or the burgers that they were, that they probably thought of grilling. Nope. They had to go for the MRE or something like that. I haven't even had an MRE. I've just heard of those. Those are the things that the military people eat. Meals ready to eat is what it stands for, I believe. Isn't that what it stands for, MRE, meals ready to eat, something like that? But it's these things, these little pack things that they said to eat. But obviously they took bread and ate it. Says they were grain, so maybe it could have been in an MRE form. Then, after everybody ate as much as they wanted, they had to throw that stuff overboard in the sea. And he told those people, "Folks, God even showed me that it's going to be fine. That as long as you stick with us, everything's going to be okay." He said, "Everything's going to be okay. You just can't. You just got to trust God." And himself, at dawn, you know. Near dawn, they're taking soundings, taking checks to see how deep the water is. 120 feet, 90 feet. Then they're like, we'll see if we can run a ship aground. But nope, hit a sandbox. They're planning to land at this beach. They could, of course, this was so that they could land safely. Not so the kids could take a swim. Obviously, there were no kids with them. But they were on the they'd been on the ship for so long. They worked so hard. And they weren't even to Rome yet. Instead, they landed at Malta. Of course, the people, they were so happy. I mean, they were hospitable to them. Understanding of everything and everything that had happened, and how you avoid shipwreck, of course, is you trust in the Lord. For one thing, you have to trust in the Lord. Two, you always got to make sure that you're led by God and not just led by the flesh and your own fleshly desires. And what you think might be the blessing of the Lord may not be. So you say in life, what would be an example of shipwreck? Well, we'll just say you just have an okay job. By okay, I mean, you're not necessarily just barely getting by, but you're doing okay. Paying your bills. Kids have enough to eat. And you're in a decent position. But let's say you get this job offer. And you can get made a lot more money. Or make a lot more money. But maybe it requires that you maybe spend a lot more hours at work or whatever that may be. So you get this new job, and we'll just say you start missing church services. You start missing Wednesday night or Thursday night services. Then before you know it, you start saying, oh, I went to church. You start missing some Sunday nights. Then before you know it, you're missing some Sunday mornings. Now we only see you at church once a month, once every 3 months. That soft wind had blown, the money started coming in, but you just decided that church wasn't a priority, that God wasn't a priority. Before you know it, maybe you've now divorced. I'm saying what shipwreck looks like. By now you're divorced. You're with a whole different woman than what you were supposed to be with. You're not right with God. And you're just not living right at all. Because you didn't trust in God. Because everything was going to be fine. You decided that job was more important than God. And you felt that south wind blowing. You decided to go with it. And then instead of being blessed, you got shipwrecked. Good, you could have prayed, and believed God. You found out, no, this isn't right.
And God just showed you. I want to bless you, but if you do this, you won't help yourself. You hurt yourself. So, ultimately, you've got to trust in the Lord. And what God wants for you. Some trust in horsemen, some in chariots, some trust in the experts. You know, the experts say that we should be locked in our house some off. But I trust in the Lord my God. Yes. So, stay steadfast in faith. You got to have faith. And keep that trust level of God. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust that He knows what's best for you. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this word tonight, Lord God. I thank you that you'll help us so that we can avoid going shipwreck in our lives. And I just thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are in us, that you're working through us, that you're helping us. And I just thank you, Lord God, that we will put this word to practice. And I thank you, Lord God, that we are doers of the word and not hearers only. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In terms of sports, the Tigers are kind of doing a bit of a slide as they have lost again to the White Sox. And now they're going to try again tonight to see if they can get a win tonight. College football, as of right now, like I said, the SEC is still looking to play, as is the Big 12. Both will start play on September 26th. And I'm hoping we can have. And I will likely be rooting for an SEC team this fall. I will let you know what that will be. And I will be covering them. Obviously, it's going to be a different-looking fall than what I wanted, even in terms of the show, because I was so ready to bring back Football Central. What I've been doing the last 3 years. But being it doesn't look like that's going to happen. In terms of the Rockets, they got a nice one over the Thunder in the playoffs last night. In the NBA playoffs. And I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no plague shall come nigh us or our dwelling. For you, Lord God, have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. No drug or drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, no murderer, no suicide, no terrorist, no fire, no blood, no flood, no crash, no sickness, no disease, no Rona. And we're going to live in great peace and great joy and prosperity and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Amen. Sure love you, listeners. And until Monday, God first, God always.